The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. I am your co-host, Pronto Comics' own Dominic Sperano. Currently, Mark Torres is off in parts unknown doing Lord only knows what. Hopefully we'll get to him soon. It Came From The Radio. It comes to you from the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show. Also, we don't want to forget to mention our Patreon patrons, Danny Grillo, Two Sentence Horror, KG Murphy, and Ryan McDonald. Thank you for doing the holler for a dollar shout out. So, let us first get to the news. Comic book writer and artist and editor Len Wein died this week. Len was most famous for co-creating Wolverine for Marvel and Swamp Thing. Wein had undergone a quintuple heart bypass, that's five arteries, in 2015 in March. Wein tweeted that he was going into surgery with the hashtag, I want Wolverine's healing factor. And that's... Don't we all want Wolverine's healing factor? I also want Wolverine's hair and mutton chops and claws, too. Most recently, he had undergone surgery for an abscess on one of his heel bones. Ow. And 2 days before he died, ironically, his wife posted out of surgery, which went very well. He was 69 years old. So, unfortunately, that's a very sad loss. Today's guest, by the way, is Simon Fraser. Simon, can you hear me? So, moving on to the... From the whelp, there goes that department. I love our departments. J.J. Abrams has been announced to be the newest director of Star Wars Episode 9. No shock there, I suppose. For those who don't know, the original director left or was fired. Kind of sounds like what happens to Van Halen's lead singers there, recently leaving the slot open for JJ to swoop right in. Something tells me JJ doesn't swoop much. I don't know. Exec says, with The Force Awakens, JJ delivered everything we could have possibly hoped for, and I am so excited that he is coming back to close out this trilogy. You know, there's only one person on Earth that ever directed Star Trek and Star Wars, and it's JJ Abrams. Pretty cool. Speaking of sequels, this is a no-brainer department. Writer-director Patty Jenkins and actress Gal Gadot will both return for Wonder Woman Part 2. Wonder Woman has already pulled in $409 million at the domestic box office and $813 million worldwide. Part 2 is slated for release on December 13th, 2019. I can't wait for Wonder Woman Part 2. I'm really looking forward to that one. Speaking of movies making money, Stephen King's It earned $117.2 million in its opening weekend, making it the third largest opening weekend of 2017, beating out Spider-Man Homecoming, which made $117 million. Yeah, but like by $200,000, that's really nothing. Also, it now holds the record for the largest September opening, beating out Hotel Transylvania 2. Oh, man, I can't believe they made a second Hotel Transylvania. I got nothing against Adam Sandler, but, man. Which opened in 2015 with $48.5 million. Wow, that didn't just, like, beat it out. That, like, beat it down, too. And it also holds the record for the biggest opening weekend banked by a horror or supernatural film, beating out Paranormal Activity 3, which earned $52.6 million in 2011. So if I've learned anything, it's that September is a good month for horror movies, or children horror movies. To put things into perspective, Beauty and the Beast holds the top spot with $176 million for its opening weekend, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 stays in the number 2 spot with $146 million. And they said it wasn't a very good year this year, summer-wise, for movies. Who knows? And finally, for the shameless self-promotion department, well, I don't know how shamelessly self-promoting this is, as I'm not the guy whose comic this is about, but anyway, in October at the Stan Lee LA Comic Con, Apex Comics Group will announce a new digital comic to hit the internet. 20 years in the making comes Designated, a 110-page self-contained story about four teens and one five-year-old child caught in between two warring alien races over a nearly discovered mystical power source. Written by Sunburst creator and host of It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con, Mark Torres. In case you don't know, we love the Big Apple Con. Mark says, I hope you'll buy and read my book. You know, this is one of those things where Mark really needs to come in on time to make sure that he can plug himself. And we really need to work on his, press releases. I hope you'll buy and read my book. Yes, please go buy and read Mark's book. For more information, go to www.apexcomicsgroup.com. All right, we'll be back with our guest, Simon Fraser, momentarily.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com. Legalize the earth to continue to
resist the passage of this necessary legislation. Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of the Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on the Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
This is Quentin Flynn, a popular voice actor known for Axel, Timon, and Raiden from the Metal Gear series. And you're listening to It Came From the Radio. Stick around.
Hello, everyone. This is Envoy Comic Distributors, the independent distributor for independent minds. We represent some of the finest small press and self-publishers out there today. To learn more about us and our publishers, search for Envoy Comic Distributors on Facebook. And shop for us online at envoy.storenv.com. That's envoy.storenv.com. Have a great day.
Hey, I'm Mike Kingston, the writer and creator of Headlocked.
And I am WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler. And guess what you're listening to? You're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
All right, and we are back in studio at Talking Alternatives NYC, and on the phone should be Simon Fraser. Simon, are you there? Can you hear me, sir? All right, Simon, are you there?
I can hear you. Hi.
There's my good friend Simon Fraser. Simon, just so you know, you're being joined with Mark Torres, the official host of It Came From the Radio. Mark, welcome back.
Hi, Mark.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that. I gingerly walked in.
You did gingerly walk in. It's impressive how gingerly you were. So how are things in parts unknown?
It's awesome.
Yeah. So.
So Dominic, your show. Go ahead.
Apparently, I've taken the lead on this. This is like one of Gibbs' rules.
You got a promotion.
Yeah. That's it. You're out, Mark. No more for you. So Simon, how you been, buddy?
I've been good. Very busy.
So, for those who don't know, what are some of the titles that you've worked on recently?
Recently. Last 3 years, I've been working on the 11th Doctor comic for Titan, and I've also done some stuff for Dark Horse with Alex Acampi. I'm probably best known in the UK as a guy who works on 2000 AD, and I did Nicolai Dante's adventures there for 15 years. But Doctor Who has been my gig for the last couple of years.
Specifically, you were working on the 11th Doctor, right?
Yeah, that's right. Matt Smith.
Yep. So
Wait. So, Simon, when you're working on Doctor Who, do you have to watch the show to do the comic?
I mean, I'm a big Doctor Who fan anyway, so that's not much of a stretch for me. I've been avidly watching Matt Smith's adventures again and again and again, freeze framing whatever I need. But after a certain point, it just becomes part of your brain. So I can now draw Matt Smith in my sleep.
Do you have dreams of drawing Matt Smith in your sleep?
Depends on my deadline pressure at the time. Sometimes it gets a little intense.
Have you actually had a chance to meet Matt Smith or any of that series cast?
I beg your pardon?
Have you had a chance to actually meet Matt Smith or any of that series?
I have, actually, yeah. I've met Matt Smith and David Tennant about a year or two ago. I said, very briefly, and chatted to him about it. And his thing says, well, this must be a bit weird for you then. I mean, yeah, a little bit. He's smaller than you think he is, like most people, it seems, on TV. I had a longer chat with David Tennant, who's actually very difficult to draw, and I was talking to him about that. All the artists in the Titan half that are doing good jobs on David Tennant are all Italian women for some reason. And he said, I've always gone really well with Italian women. So it's something of a thing for him.
So when you have somebody in front of you that you've drawn or are going to draw, do you, like, study them while you're talking to them?
You don't really get the time to do that. I mean, if you're doing that, you're not really talking to them. So I didn't really want to be that guy who was staring oddly at a celebrity. So, yeah, you just try and be a human being.
I'm still curious why Italian women draw David Tennant the best. What makes him so hard to draw?
He's got very kind of fine elfin features. It's good looking, but in an odd way. And a lot of it's the way he animates, articulates himself. Sometimes actors particularly have a kind of mercurial quality. The spirit within animates them. So if they're asleep, you almost don't recognize them. My usual sort of example of that is the late Jeanne Moreau, because Jeanne Moreau, when she's sort of like at rest, just looks like a little old lady. But as soon as she wakes up, there's this kind of like vibrancy to her, which is very very pronounced with her specifically. But Matt Smith and David Tennant have got it. Tennant specifically, because he's got a very delicate face, and he kind of wakes up in this kind of very ostentatious way. He's very alive. Matt Smith's got a much stronger features, so you can kind of cruise a bit on him. You don't have to be quite so aware of it. You can relax into the kind of the shadows and the angles of his face a bit more. Tennant, you don't get away with that.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. Now, have you done any Peter Capaldis yet?
I have. I did a 6-page Peter Capaldi for a San Diego convention special a couple of years back. He's so much fun to draw. It's just like I could draw him all day. It's just relaxing, just sitting there with all these nice lines and the intensity of them. It's great.
And are you getting prepared for the 13th or 14th Doctor? Which Doctor is it now?
I think according to the thing, she's a 13th Doctor, though the War Doctor's kind of outside of that, so if the War Doctor's included, she's 14th, but she's been called 13 in the community. We're looking forward to Jodie Whittaker. Very different challenge.
Yeah. So what are you currently working on, Simon?
Well, at the moment, I'm drawing for Mark Miller's Millerworld comics through Image. I'm doing Red Diamond for Kingsman Red Diamond for them. So I'm doing the sequel to the Kingsman comic book.
Wow. That's pretty cool. How are you finding that process?
It's very much comics process. It's a little different working with different people every time. So I've got a different editor this time, but it's the schedule's pretty intense because we've got the schedule of the movie to keep up with, and there's an awful lot more external marketing involved, so that kind of have to keep on top of all that stuff. But yeah, it's very much the normal creative process for comics.
So when you're doing a project that's tied into a movie or other property like that, are you like in your own bubble that you have to stay away from all the outside influences, or is it something that you're...
I think there's specific issues. I don't know. I haven't discussed it explicitly with Mark and Rachel, my editor, yet. But I think they're steering clear of the movie specifically. It is the same continuity as the movie and the comics, but this is a very much an adventure that stands by itself, apart from the movies. So you can watch all of it, and it's all Kingsman universe. But I'm not doing a likeness of Taron Egerton, for example. I'm doing more of a reference to Dave Gibbons' version of Eggsy, the central character.
Oh, it's pretty cool. So if you could be anyone in the Kingsman universe, who would you be?
Oof. Well, there's
a
supporting character in my run, which has just come out in issue 2, called Kwaito, who's an agent of the South African Secret Service. I would like to be her. She's definitely the coolest thing I've ever drawn.
I like the coolest thing you've ever drawn. So after Kingsman, what do you have planned up next?
I have been, I can't say too much about this yet, but I've been working on a project with Paul Levitz, former editor-in-chief at DC. So we've got a kind of a very strange, idiosyncratic project, and I can't say too much about it. It's going to be very different, and it's going to be almost the diametric opposite of Kingsman. So that's something that I don't have any kind of schedule for, but certainly as soon as I finish Kingsman, I'm going to jump onto that. It's definitely the oddest thing I think I've read in comics, and it's interesting working with Paul, who's such a kind of like central figure in comics for so long. So it's going to be quite religious, but without, it's not proselytizing. It's a kind of religious procedural, I think you'd call it.
Religious,
it's very odd,
procedural.
But I like it.
That's really interesting, religious procedural. So what makes it different is the story that's being told, and that will reflect the art?
I don't want to misrepresent it. It's such an interesting thing unto itself that for me to kind of come up with a potted summary, I haven't really managed to summarize it well in my head yet. You'd really have to ask Paul about that. But it's very unique, and it's very well researched, and it's got a certain quiet intensity to it, which I'm enjoying. It's very different from the all-action Kingsman. Most of the stuff I've done, I mean, Doctor Who is also quite action-orientated, and this is kind of the opposite of that. It's very quite intense and quiet, and lots of character work, and I really enjoy working on the characters.
So when you do character works on this type of a project, do you find that you're using more interesting camera angles because you don't have the action to lean upon?
I really couldn't hear that.
I was saying that when you work on something, when you're focusing on more something that's character-driven as opposed to action-driven, you kind of have to play with the scenes more and have to kind of work on different angles and stuff to try to convey action as opposed to just people...
It's all about maintaining the kind of... you kind of have to pull people in close. I mean, if you do too many angles, you lose people. It gets too jarring and too difficult to follow, or you break the contact. The idea of having really good acting in comics is to kind of like put somebody there you recognize, or you can feel that they're a real person. And that usually works through the eyes, and to get the eyes right, and then you kind of like pull them in and hold the attention on them, so they stop seeing the comics panels, they stop seeing the page, they stop seeing the structure, and they just see a character there. And often that can be by doing very subtle things, and not so much moving the camera a lot. So you can do that to keep things interesting if you have to, but a lot of it is just like working into the character and really, really, really constantly. I mean, if I'm doing really intense dramatic scene with a character, I'll sometimes redraw a panel 5 or 6 times just to get exactly the emotional note. It's very difficult. It's basically acting, but I'm kind of like acting with tweezers. It's a very intense process. I really enjoy it.
So when you have to redraw something 5 or 6 times, do you like side sketch it to get a rough idea? How does that work to redraw something that many times?
I mean, usually what I start with, I do a layout, look at, I go through the script, and I find, you know, the beats that are required, the emotion I'm looking for, and often a little sort of thumbnail of, like, you know, half-inch thumbnail gets the emotion that I want, and then I try and draw it up, and it's just not there, it's not happening. So I kind of, I'm going back and exploring it again and again. And if I'm really struggling, then I'll look at myself in a mirror, or I'll find an actor reference or a photograph of somebody or something, just to kind of like push myself into a different space. It's quite challenging to get it. You know, you kind of instinctively know what you're looking for, but you're not quite sure what it is. So you kind of have to explore. I mean, the way for me is I just have to keep drawing. If I keep my pencil moving, even if I'm not getting it, I'll erase it, and it's the thinking that happens that gets me there. It's good. I mean, the comics drawing is an awful lot of different kinds of work in it. I mean, I can draw cityscapes, which are enormously time-consuming and work intensive to get, but it's less intellectually challenging, whereas the emotional scenes are quite difficult to get, and you spend an awful lot of time doing very little.
So it goes to what they always say, that if you want to break into comics, you have to be able to draw everything.
Hello, sorry, I'm really can't hear you very well.
Oh, I was saying that like what the old saying is, if you want to get into comics, you have to draw everything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I find that if I go into like the commercial arts field, I'm doing storyboarding or advertising stuff, and I go, wow, you comic guys can do anything. Because you have to. You don't really get time just to stop and do referencing or anything like that. You have to basically be able to pull pretty much a drawing of anything out of the top of your head at a moment's notice, because you've really just got to keep going, and the comics are quite labor-intensive. It's a thing you have to do. You have to fill your head full of stuff and then just be able to pull it out at the drop of a hat.
How heavily do you rely on references? Do you have like a file of references on your computer somewhere?
No, I don't really need to. I mean, I've got the Google image search is just stunningly good. I mean, I was looking for, was it yesterday? I'm drawing the city of London from the point of view of Peckham. So I searched London skyline Peckham, and it's like, there you go, there's Peckham right there from London skyline from Peckham. Like, wow, that's so specific. Right there, there's about five different options. I'm going, brilliant. So I don't need to keep any kind of reference library. I used to, but these days, because of the internet, you just don't have to do any of that. Google is a wondrous thing. The Google searches, Google Maps is amazing for specific references, because Kingsman specifically has real locations. I mean, we've done some stuff in London and New York. These are places I've lived, so I get a feeling of what they're like. But to go in there, I can actually do specific references and get real addresses and things, which is just incredible. Love that.
So where can people find your stuff? Where can people find your stuff? Where can they find out more about you?
Well, you can go to simonfraser.net, which is my website. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Simon Fraser on Twitter. Simon Fraser on Facebook. Or if you look at Simon Fraser Comics, that usually gets me. Kingsman Issue 1 is out in the stores right now. It came out on Wednesday. It's coming out monthly for 6 months. And you can still find the collections of my Doctor Who work. They're available from Titan. I think they're still in the stores right now.
I know, like, the collected versions and the graphic novels of your Doctor Who stuff is definitely out. Because we just did a show at Escape Pod Comics, and they still have a bunch of them, which actually I've been to Escape Pod too.
And he's great. Yeah, they've been very supportive of the Doctor Who stuff. I think they do well because they're a very family-oriented store, so Doctor Who works well for them.
It's a great store. You've done also, like, not just Nicolai Dante for 2000 AD though, but you also did Judge Dredd for a period, right?
Yes, that's right.
So, which one did you prefer, Sly Stallone or Carl Urban's movie?
Oh, Urban wins by a landslide. Much, much better interpretation of the character. I wish he was allowed to be funnier, though, that's the thing. Dredd can be very funny, and I think the movie kind of missed out on that, sadly.
Yeah, it was a very grim, grim Judge Dredd. It was almost like Christian Bale's Batman with a Judge Dredd helmet on.
I feel
it's almost like they had to overcompensate to sort of like, yeah, it's serious. It's, you know, it's a serious thing. It's like they're really working too hard on that, and they really should have relaxed a little bit. I watched RoboCop recently, and in many ways, RoboCop is a very good Judge Dredd movie. It's got the humor in it, which is kind of a little bit missing from the recent Dredd movie, and certainly the Stallone one.
So if you could go back to any character that you've done, Judge Dredd, Nikolai Dante, or even Matt Smith, Doctor Who, which would you love to jump back in on?
I mean, I have to say Nikolai Dante, because he's mine. He's my character. Robbie Morrison and I created him 20-odd years ago, and he's been a constant in my life ever since, in little bits. I mean, we did the 40th anniversary edition of 2000 AD, and we did a six-pager for Nikolai Dante, and it just feels, it's like putting on old shoes. It's very, very comfortable. It's like, oh, yeah, I know who this guy is. I know this stuff. It's very, very familiar, very, very comfortable. So, definitely Nikolai Dante, and I'm sure there will be other opportunities to do more Nikolai Dante over the years. We don't have any sort of sustained plan for it, but he's become such a stalwart of 2000 AD that I can't imagine that we won't come back to him.
Yeah, I loved Nikolai Dante. I have volumes 1 and 2. I know there's like 10 more volumes that's involved there. But I've been slowly, like every Comic-Con, I go to the 2000 AD booth and I try and buy another volume of Nikolai Dante. What made you guys want to do a czarist imperialistic story set so far in the future? Like, where did that come from?
I mean, really, the story of Nikolai Dante is a very old-fashioned kind of story. It's almost Alexandre Dumas. It's very old-school swashbucklery. I mean, originally, when the thing was sketched out by Robbie, it was set in the, I think, 18th century, because it was a very fluid time in European politics, and there was an awful lot of movement around it. His Nikolai Dante, originally, different name, was a Scottish mercenary. So he wanted to do something in that time period, or using that kind of iconography. There's an awful lot of really strong imagery in that era, especially coming up to the Napoleonic era. There's some amazing costumes and grand vistas and tremendous architecture. It's a great booming of European culture. So we wanted to do that, but I mean, the thing about 2000 AD, of course, is it's a science fiction comic, and science fiction it can be anything. So we approached 2000 AD with it as a science fiction concept, which is taking all the cool things we liked about the period comic, but adding flying horses and the Tsar's palace is this gigantic floating Fabergé egg, and you know we can basically have our cake and eat it. And the great thing about doing your own comic book and science fiction, especially, is that you can basically do whatever you think is fun and just create stuff with it from whole cloth without any reference to reality. Well, doing that, in actual fact, we sort of picked up historical references and sort of dragged them into the future kicking and screaming. So it's a huge amount of fun to draw, and that's one of the reasons it would be so much fun to do more Dante. It's just like I don't have to do any referencing. Anything I draw is by default real in Dante's world. It doesn't have to look like anything in the real world.
That's pretty cool. So we're almost out of time, Simon. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share with us really quickly?
Within a minute or less.
Yeah, fast.
Within a minute or less.
Tweet it.
Check out Kingsman Red Diamond. It's a hugely fun Bond parody pastiche, but it's not really. It's about a bunch of nicer characters than James Bond, and it's going to be available all through this late summer period, and the movie is going to be great. And early word on that has been magic, and I think you'll all enjoy it.
All right, there you go.
Mark? My final thought is good job, Dominic. Thanks for being a guest, Simon. We appreciate you calling in. Best of luck with your endeavors.
And my final thought is it's my show now. There we go.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From Radio. Join us right here and every week on this radio station. If you miss any part of the show, go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. Listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Talk Radio NYC, Beyond the Dawn Studios, iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, all that other stuff. Look up It Came From Radio, you can find us. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff, like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place, because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.